This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We have a fantastic show for you tonight. We are fired up. The USGP is 3 weeks away from our little town of Austin, Texas. This is John Massengill. That's Jonathan Green. You hear hooting over there. And Les Kaiser's out on vacation this week. Mr. Green, are you excited for the United States Grand Prix?
You know it, baby.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right in because we have a special guest tonight. Our guest first up is Will Buxton. And Mr. Buxton, welcome back to Speed City.
Hi, guys. How are you?
There he is, the man on the ground.
Oh, mate, it's too early for you.
I know. You're in Malaysia, right? Good morning, tidak masala.
It's 7 o'clock.
Terima kasih.
Indeed. How are you, man?
Where are you staying?
We are in Putrajaya, so we're about 40 minutes out from the track.
Know it well, very well indeed. As you know, I've spent a lot of time out in Malaysia, and I love that track. I'm very sad to see it go. But I tell you what, we are delighted to get you on the show, especially fresh, hot footing from the track, because you are the guy in the know. I tell you what, John, you might have Justin Timberlake and we might have Stevie Wonder, but this man has the moves of Justin Timberlake and the melodious sound of Stevie Wonder all rolled into one. So look out for star turns in Austin because Will Buxton is on his way.
Is that true, Mr. Buxton? Oh, man.
I can't wait. I can't wait to be back. It's amazing how fast the year's gone by already. It's crazy. You know, we've got, 5 races left? And it doesn't seem 2 seconds since we were in Australia. Starting this season off, it's gone by so quickly.
Yeah, it's been an amazing and eventful year, for sure.
But yeah, it really has been.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I know it's early morning, but I'm sure you're fresh all things Formula One. Let's get straight to it. What on earth happened to Ferrari?
They're imploding, aren't they? It's a disaster. The fascinating thing is when you look at the, I think the issues that we've got at the moment with the regulations around engine use and components and penalties, and we've seen it affecting McLaren for the last few years. And, we've been saying, isn't it crazy that these things are so affecting the teams? For it to happen to a big team like Ferrari, I think is the biggest shock, but it was always going to happen with the extra limiting this year down to just 4 power units and 4 components for each of those power units. They don't have the leeway that they did when we were up at 5. And so here we are with 5 races to go. It's hit Seb, it's hit Ferrari just at the wrong point. But that doesn't mean that it won't now hit Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes, because they're right up against it as well. So I think anybody who thinks that this weekend and what happened in Singapore with neither Ferrari hitting the first corner there has sort of effectively killed this championship. You know, you only need to look 12 months ago to the Malaysian Grand Prix and Hamilton's engine letting go, and the whole thing can turn on its head again. So, yeah, I don't think it's over in the long run. I'd love to know exactly what did go down at Ferrari this weekend, because for them to have the issues that they had with Seb, and that was a manifold issue. He had a broken manifold on Saturday. And the team had done a great job to replace the engine after practice, which they'd only done as a precaution. And it, obviously, in that he had that manifold issue in qualifying. And then for Kimi to have the turbo issue in the race, it's for Mercedes the perfect storm. For Ferrari, just a complete disaster.
You know, Will, I was thinking what you said about it could happen to anybody. I hate to admit it, but I was thinking that about Max Verstappen. I was thinking, could it happen on the last lap? I mean, I was just waiting on the edge of my seat.
I put exactly that to him after the race. I said, you know, you were out in front, you had like 10 seconds, and was there ever a point where you just sat there and thought, this is going a bit too well, given his season?
What about Max, though, on a brighter side, as it were? If you like, the first win was not a given. No race in Formula One's a given. But this was an outright win by Max Verstappen on his game, ahead of a field of brilliant guys, much older than him, of his dear 20 years of age. What did you think of that performance today?
Yeah, he did a phenomenal job. I mean, I don't think I can remember the day after my 20th birthday. I think probably had quite a big night. But you know, he'll remember that day for a long time. It was a great win, and it was something that he really needed. Max is the kind of driver who can have the third or fourth best car on the grid, but will still go into every race thinking he can win it. And that's just the kind of guy he is. There is no function of his brain that tells him that he doesn't have a chance to win. So if he's got even a sniff, you know he's going to do everything he can to make it happen. And the Red Bull has developed so well throughout the year, to the point now that, I think pound for pound it is one of the best cars out there. It looks, you know, on the basis of the last couple of races, to have gotten the march on the Mercedes, which is starting to struggle. Max just... What I think was really interesting with Max today was that we didn't see him having to be tenacious and fight and really scrap it out. This was the first time that we saw Max in the lead of a race, controlling it and just doing a very mature job of maintaining, particularly in the last few laps, just maintaining his pace, not going above and beyond, just, you know, holding it all down. And that was really interesting to see how he did that. And he did it with some aplomb. And Ricardo really couldn't keep pace with that. So, yeah, we saw a very different side to Max today. Long may that one continue. Because it's all these different facets that are going to create this future world champion. So to see that he can, you know, get up there and hold the race was a really big thing.
Well, Will, we got to ask you some other questions too, because speaking of Max Verstappen, what about the other youngsters? You know, we've got Ocon, Stroll, and now Gasly. Yeah. I mean, it's really exciting to see all these young guys. What about all of those and anybody else on your radar?
Yeah, future's amazingly bright. Stoffel Vandoorne, I think, had his best race in Formula One today. He was absolutely incredible. He dominated Alonso all the way through the weekend. And we haven't seen that, all season yet. And really, I think, you know, the car's coming good. Stoffel's finding his feet. And we're starting to see the guy who dominated the junior formulas. And he's now ahead of Fernando in the Drivers' Championship. And I think that would be the first time in history that Alonso is beaten by a team mate if the points stay that way to the end of the season. So Stoffel's doing a great job. I really rate him tremendously. You've mentioned Max. Obviously, I think you know, Max is a future world champion. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. Look at Esteban Ocon as well, who is having a brilliant season with Force India, currently sits eighth in the championship. He obviously beat Verstappen to the Formula 3 title a couple of seasons ago. So there's another guy to keep your eye on. Gasly had a great debut. I think he'll be in Formula 1 full-time next season. And then you look sort of out around the periphery, Charles Leclerc, who's dominating Formula 2 this year, had his practice debut for Sauber earlier this season. I think we'll see, well, actually, this weekend in Malaysia, I should say. I think we'll see him at Sauber next year. You've got Giovinazzi waiting in the wings, who ran Gasly really close for the GP2 title in 2016. And then a little bit further down the field, you've got Lando Norris in Formula 3, the British driver who's signed to McLaren. And I think Lando is the real deal. He's a he's up there with your Verstappens and your Ocons, and a guy who is going to be a future Formula One potential world champion. So we've got, if we lose our Raikkonens, our Massas, and our Alonsos, there's a wealth of young talent coming through, and I think the future looks really bright.
And some American talent too, Santino Ferrucci. I want to just put a mention on him.
Yeah, Santi. Punching, he had a nightmare start to the season in GP3 Dams, which was formerly the team that you'd want to be with in GP2 and GP3, just sort of fallen apart. I think because they're spending more time focusing on their Formula E campaign. They run the Renault E-Dams team, so they're spending more time concentrating on that really than GP2, GP3. And Santino left the GP3 team halfway through the season, moved up to GP2, and was just scoring points left, right, and centre in a car that he felt much more comfortable in. So I think Santino's great. You've got guys in GP3 like Ryan Tavita as well, who has gone on a recent run of podium form, and great kid, and I think got a bright future.
Hey Will, well, I want to talk about your Buxton's big time bash coming back to Austin, but can you stick with us through a quick commercial break?
Yeah, of course. I'm here as long as you need me.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the Buxton's big time bash back in Austin. And for 2017, you're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Thanks for making the right choice.
I don't know where I would get the truth if it weren't for you.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
All right, welcome back to Speed City. I want to thank Twitter. Twitter gave us the 280 character limit.
Oh, wow. I can talk some more.
I feel like it's with great power comes great responsibility. I started tweeting earlier and I was like, I don't really want to use. I'm kind of torn back and forth.
So can I say a lot?
You can say 200.
My thoughts are.
You can say that too. Welcome back to Speed City. We are live with Will Buxton. Will, we're excited about the USGP, but we're also excited about the Buxton Bash coming back to Austin. Very excited.
Me too. Can I just say 280 characters on Twitter is unnecessary.
I agree.
No one needs, particularly from me, no one needs twice of what I've got to say.
I was just excited that they let us, but even today I stopped at about 200, I think. I didn't even come close.
And on behalf of Will Buxton and myself, because I think I'm second to Will only in talking too much on a grid and in about Formula One, I agree, Will. 140 was invented for the likes of us.
Yeah.
But also it's like, you know, it's like Uber saying, well, we're going to start doing these large cars and they're going to stop at certain points on the route. And you're like, well, that's just a bus. And it's, you know, it's sort of,
good point.
So I don't get it. I don't get it. 280 is, it's just two tweets.
Yeah.
So just send two tweets.
Yeah.
Give us a 1 minute function, because I'm still sending a 280 character tweet and I look at it and I go, oh, I've spelt that wrong.
Yes.
And so I just,
yeah,
give me a 1 minute edit feature. That's all I want, is a 1 minute edit.
Yeah, I mean, next year, 2018, tune in and Twitter will offer you a phone where you can talk to people.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, anyway, yes, onto important things.
The Bash, let's hear it. Tell us all about
yes.
it, Will.
So when Formula One first came to Austin, I know there was some sort of reservations about whether Formula One would just come to Texas and take money from people and not give anything back. And I know there were some real reservations from folks in Austin about the race. So what I wanted to do when we first came to Austin was to do something that gave back to the community and do something that gave back to the city of Austin. So we set up the Bash, which started off actually as a karaoke night at an Irish pub in town, and was really fun. And it's just kind of grown every year, and we're now getting drivers coming down, and the teams are bringing really amazing giveaways and sort of sign stuff, and it's a chance to come down and meet drivers. We've had a lot of young drivers coming down. I remember Alexander Rossi came down when he was racing in GP2, and obviously he's now a Indy 500 champion, and which is incredible. So we've had an amazing group of people come down to give their time. Gilles Deferre and Mario Andretti have come down. A lot of F1 drivers have been down as well. And it's all about raising money for local charities. And we've raised, I think, nearly $100,000 over the last...
Wow.
Well, we've only held it four times. We didn't hold it last year because my father passed shortly before the race, so I wasn't able to dedicate as much time as I wanted to actually get the Bash running. So it comes back this year after a one-year hiatus. But yeah, so we've raised nearly $100,000 for local charities. This year, all the money will be going to Susan G. Komen. The whole of the Austin weekend, everything at the track is going to be attuned towards raising money for breast cancer charities. So there's going to be like pink tires, pink liveries. We're in Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So, we're going all in on that. And, it's going to be great fun.
And just so everybody who's local, because obviously we got a lot of Austinites listening to this and a lot of people who will be traveling to the race, what are the details in terms of timing?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Well,
I knew you were going to ask me that. So it's a
Thursday night, right?
It's a Thursday night, yeah. So it's on Thursday night. It's at Clearport, which apparently is the place to be.
That's a cool venue, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard great things about it. I'm really looking forward to getting down there. And I think we're going to start. I think doors are at 7, and we'll probably kick it off at about 8 o'clock. And basically, we'll just stay until we get kicked out. So
yeah, it's at 516 East 6th Street. It's a really cool venue, Clearport, and it's clearportatx.com. But yeah, Will, I know that this has been a really successful event. I've been a couple of times. One time I stood outside and it was fighting my way in. It was jam packed, and it would and they actually opened up some more of the venue. So it was a really cool event, and lots of people, lots of drivers, and lots of F1 stars. It's an awesome event.
To be honest, yeah, I think it's a great way to kick off the weekend if you're looking for something. Because we get asked this all the time. People, fans come in and they go, where's the party? And you go, well, I'm kind of busy getting myself ready for what I've got to do the next day. So we're not always on tune for all the parties. This is free, and this is a chance to perhaps get a glimpse or even an autograph and definitely some memorabilia of some of the drivers. And like you say, a fantastic cause. Austin is going to be pretty in pink this weekend.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. And what we do, I never wanted it to be something that cost an arm and a leg, because I think the fans pay enough already to come to the race, and merchandising and everything. And it's, we know that Formula One's not a cheap sport. We know the tickets, are quite expensive. And obviously, this year you get to see Justin Timberlake and Stevie Wonder and all that, if you come to the race as well. But, we do have a cover charge on the door. It's not a huge amount. It's like $5-$10. But what we ask is a nominal amount on the door or whatever you'd like to donate. So it's, you know, you can come in and you could pay $100 if you wanted to, or you could pay $10 if you wanted to. It's entirely up to you. It's whatever you want to donate to the charity. But with that, you get a ticket, and then we draw tickets on stage. And with that, you win, or you can win, something really, really cool. But what we didn't want was, for people to be able to buy 100 tickets, sort of raffle tickets, and be able to buy and win loads of things. You win once. So you can donate your donation then gives you that ticket and gives you a chance to win, so that anybody, whether they've donated $10 or $100, has the same chance of winning. It's probably not fair on the people who've donated more, but you get a better feeling in your soul, and that's the most important.
So, hey, Will, it looks like I'm looking at the notes for it. Is it going to be an open discussion also with the other boys from NBC?
Yeah, yeah, they usually turn up and they do a star turn at the opening, which is always great because those three guys, as anybody who, who's ever been to the sort of the theatre shows that they do over the years, when they're not on mic, they're a touch more loose-lipped, shall we say, and it's always very funny. They have some amazing anecdotes, particularly Mr. Hobbs, some wonderful anecdotes from over the years, and it's always really, really good fun. So, you know, it's a great event. If you want to hear from, you know, from us, from what we do on NBC, from some of the drivers and people from within the paddock in a very informal setting. We also have a deal there, which is, you know, we live in an age of the internet and Twitter and Facebook and everything, but we ask people not to phone thing, not to record things on their phone and not to upload, you know, take as many photographs as you want, but not to push record on your phone and take videos, because it allows people to just say what they want, be who they are, and know that there's no sort of, you know, form of recourse coming back at them if they say something that a sponsor might be upset about.
That's really
which
cool.
is great. And everyone's been really good about that, you know, and TV crews have come down before to film it, but we never allow them to film the guys when they're on stage because we want them to be at ease and not feel like they're under that pressure of, you know, having to conform in front of the camera. They can just be themselves. And that's what it's all about.
That's really cool. That gives people a secret little insight, because if these guys, you guys and all the drivers and anybody else there, they feel free to speak their mind and be in that informal situation. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was great. We got Felipe Massa down a couple of years ago, and someone from the crowd threw out the question, "Oh, what do you feel about Fernando struggling in his McLaren Honda at the moment?" And Felipe said, "Oh, well, you know, you guys must have seen I lapped him at the last race," and everyone cheered and laughed. And he said, "I got to admit, I shouted down the radio, 'Who's faster now?'" And it was great.
That's really cool.
We have fun.
Talking of which, that's a nice segue, Mr. Buxton, as always, because I want to get back, because I just so people know, we are talking to the inside man of Formula One, a brilliant job on NBC across the years, Will Buxton, who gets closer to the drivers than anybody else, and I mean anybody else, because I know I've been in that, I will be in that that little melee of people this year, yeah. And I know your relationship with those guys is solid. And I'll take my hat off to some of the interviews you've done in the past, including one with Ferrari a couple of years ago, where I think you were the only one who got anywhere close to getting an interview. So this is the right guy. But anyway, what I want to know is, Fernando Alonso, what is your thought? You have been brilliant of every week pushing him and saying, "So, Fernando, is the time now? Is this the time? Are we ready?" And I mean, he gives you that look of, "I know you're going to ask this question, and I know I want you to ask this question because I'm going to use you to tell you how I feel, but I'm not really going to go too far, but we got this." You're doing a nice little tango. So where are we in that lovely little waltz?
I don't know, man. I've said it before. I don't know because I don't think he knows.
Yeah,
I genuinely don't think he knows. You know, it's McLaren are moving to Renault just at the time when the Honda engine's coming good.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they haven't rushed into the decision. It's been 3 years coming. But Honda does finally appear to be looking good. And I think he's going to stay in Formula One now. I think he'll stay there for this year. I think McLaren will probably give him a chance to go and have a crack at Le Mans this year,
yeah,
rather than the 500, because the 500 clashes again. So I don't know. I think Fernando is starting to realize that another Formula One World Championship is out of his reach. I think he's going to give it one last go with McLaren next year and see if that happens. But I think we lose him then. And I would love to see him go and, you know, try and win the 500 again, because I honestly, one of the most impressive things I saw in some years actually was watching Fernando at the 500 and just watch him learn lap after lap. And you could see him in, you know, the first 10-15 laps of the 500, you just watch this guy just settling in and just being calm and not going for it. And then he started to make his moves and he started to figure out where he could pass people. And then you got the first full course yellow, and then you got the first restart and he lost places. And then he started picking people off, and then you got the next full course yellow. And on the next restart, he held position and he was making moves on people. And so to watch the racing brain of someone like Fernando Alonso learn in real time during that 500 was fascinating to see. So I think, you know, he'll go back and he'll do the 500, not next year, but probably the year after. And then I think he's just going to wait and see what on earth happens to the World Endurance Championship and Le Mans, because there's only Toyota left in LMP1. And given Toyota's recent history, they'll still find a way to lose it.
It's a good point. I mean, just on a footnote to that, I was there at the 500 literally for the weeks leading up and during the race, and therefore got to see the circus around Fernando and be part of it. But, you know, and you'll appreciate this, he had an air about him of enjoyment of being part with a journalist. And I also appreciated the American journalists that I haven't been that close to over the years, but their appreciation of him, and likewise, it went both ways. It reminded me of the Senna days, where literally after practice and after qualifying, Senna would hold court. And that's what Fernando was doing. And I really do hope, it really doesn't matter where he races, but I want him to be revered and I want him to be seen for what he really truly is, which is one of the greatest drivers of all time.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think now he is looking more at his legacy and how he's viewed, you know, ultimately in history, in the great sort of the overarching view of the greatest drivers of all time. And, you know, he looks up to people like the Stirling Mosses and the Mario Andretti's, who were able to turn their hand to anything and be fast. And the fact that he went to Indy and suddenly gained this huge respect for the drivers out there and realized how difficult it was, but got that taste of, oh my God, I can be competitive here. I think that was really big for him, and it gave him a huge boost at a time when he really needed it. So, I think it would be great to see him in a championship where he's revered. It would be great to see him in a championship where he can ply his trade and be as good as we know he can be. And ultimately, a happy Fernando is a fast Fernando, and that's all I think anybody wants to see.
Well, hey, Will, can you stick with us through one more quick break? And I want to ask you some more questions.
Of course.
Awesome, because I want to talk to
he's
you about...
He's having his breakfast.
Well, he doesn't need coffee after Jonathan Green getting on the horn with him, but... All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Will Buxton about Formula One. You listen to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City.
Schmuzzle.
Schmuzzle. You know what? Will, we have our special guest is Will Buxton on the phone. And Will, one question that I want to ask David Hobbs is, where did the meaning of the word clag come from?
He's got his own language.
I must ask him. I think he has that trademark. Yeah. No one is allowed to use it.
Well, Will,
Hobbisms are the greatest words in the world. I think my favorite one, and I actually stole it and used it in the GP2 commentary once, which was David's expression for when a driver has gone, shall we say, over the limit and scared themselves. And David says, oh, I think he's tested the structural integrity of his underpants.
I love it.
Will, I want to ask you a couple of questions. One, I want to start with, being a native Austinite, being a Texan, being an American, I want to know about the Haas F1 team. I want to ask you what you think of what they've done so far. Been some amazing things. But also, I want to ask you about, there's already some grumblings. We knew all along, this is Americans. They're not going to be happy with 6th place, 7th place, 8th place, 9th place. So really, your opinions on what they've done so far and what do you think is going to happen? Are they going to be happy with what they've done so far?
Well, they were very smart. They utilized the regulations to do F1 the way that it should have been done for a few years, which is buy as many bits off the shelf as you can, put it together and make a race car. It's very much an old school way of doing Formula One when, the little British garagisti teams would cobble together a car, shove a cozy DFV in the back of it and go racing. They are, by some of the teams in the paddock who sort of would like to malign them as not being a proper manufacturer. They're known as Ferrarina, sort of the mini Ferrari team because they got so much help from Ferrari, but they utilize the regulations the way that they're there. And I think that they've done a phenomenal job with it. If you look at, if you look at it from a musical perspective, the after a great debut album, that difficult second album is always a nightmare for bands. And it's the same in racing. After a good first season, the second season is always tough to live up to those same expectations. And while they haven't had those same headline results that they had in year one, they've already surpassed the amount of points that they scored in year one. And this in a year where there's a much more competitive midfield, it's much more densely packed, much more difficult to score points. So they're actually, I think, performing on a far higher level this year than they were in year one. Romain Grosjean tells us every week they're still learning. There's still things that this team are experiencing weekend to weekend that they've never experienced before because they're a new team. And with that in mind, there's a long way for them to go. Now, what you're saying about them wanting success, and I know that Gene, certainly to me, has made comments over recent weeks of, well, there needs to be a restructuring in the sport, and I don't know how long I'm going to hang around if there's no chance of me winning.
Yeah.
You can feel sorry for him in one respect, that there is this the system in Formula One is the way it is, and it is so difficult to compete and to fight for wins. But at the same time, you turn around and say, well, you know what, chum, you knew what you signed up for. So, yeah, you're not going to be you're not going to be winning races in year two unless you're spending $300 million a year like Mercedes and Ferrari are. So, you know, there's two ways of doing it. Either you do it in the cost-effective manner in which Gene Haas has done it and has done it brilliantly and exploited the regulations and the means of using money in a cost-effective way, or you go completely crazy and, you know, and spend 5-6 times as much and, you know, and be able to do the things that the Mercedes are doing. I think we'll see a budget cap come into the sport at some point. I think Liberty Media are aware that they need to put some level of parity in there, level the playing field in some way. You know, they're talking about a Leicester City style result that happened in the Premier League a couple of seasons ago in the UK.
The Foxes!
Yeah, exactly. And you know what?
Yeah.
Everyone looks at that and goes, oh, wouldn't that be great? And it was like, well, yeah, but it was the first time in, what, 150 years or something that Leicester had won the league. And then the year after, they almost got relegated.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's like my team, Ipswich Town, same thing.
Yeah, exactly, mate, exactly. Yeah, I'm a Reading fan, so we're all in the same boat.
Oh, my word, I feel your pain, my friend.
Yeah, right? Yo-yo, just up and down, up and down. But, yeah, I mean, they're not going to win races in the short term, but if a budget cap comes in, then, you know, Haas are really well-placed. They've used the rules in the right way to get out there and get a team that's been more competitive and scored more points than any new team, I think, that I've seen probably in my time in Formula One.
Well, you know what, Will? We're excited about what Haas F1 has been doing. And you should, we've had some of the, Coda's had some watch parties, and the crowd goes crazy when Haas makes a pass.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been fun to watch. But this is a great segue because you mentioned it. Is Liberty Media, obviously, with the United States ownership of Formula One through Liberty Media now, we're just crazy ecstatic about the possibilities, whether it's additional races or whatever. The little things, I want to ask you about the changes they've made. Everything from the little things like adding miles per hour to the screen, to the world feed, instead of me doing the math in my head every time, to
social media.
To social media, how they're, what they're doing on the YouTube account is phenomenal. And also what happened today, I think these are, and a couple weeks ago, with Eric Bouillet on the show live right in the middle of the race. And I think it was Zach Brown a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, well, having Zach and Eric on the pit wall come down to us, actually wasn't anything to do with Liberty. That's something that NBC, NBCSN and McLaren have been formulating together so that we can, it's been a really complex system of actually getting it up and running so that we can patch directly into the McLaren pit wall and get Zach talking to us. That was actually something that Zach and our bosses over at NBC got together and said, hey, how about we, you know, we try something like this? And they were like, yeah, cool, let's make it happen. So that's nothing to do with Liberty. That's all to do with NBC and McLaren. So that's
cool. Good for you guys.
We're
taking hats off. Yeah.
We're taking responsibility for that.
Well, we love it. We love it.
But yeah, it's wonderful. Wonderful to hear from them during the race.
What about your thoughts really on Liberty, though, generally speaking? I mean, you, like you say, you're in the thick of it. You're working with them, they're working with you. It's a very, very important market, as is NBC as a network. Are you getting some love? Are you feeling like... whatever's missing from what you do, and I know how hard the job that you do is, because the access just isn't, hey, I'm coming down to McLaren, I'll have a quick word with your drivers. It doesn't work that way. But is it opening up in a way that you can do your job and get more across to your fans?
Absolutely. And, you know, in the sort of 16, 17 years I've been in the paddock, I've never felt such positivity as I have this year. It really feels like it's moving in the right direction. And there were a lot of people who were very worried, because you get new bosses in and, you know, they've got the keys to the candy store, and you think, well, what are they going to do with it? And I think the big concern was that they would try to change the racing and the way in which Formula One went racing and sort of mess with the product. You know, do a new Coke to it. They'd go out and they'd do a bunch of vox pops and get people's thoughts and opinions. Oh, you know, what do you want Formula One to be? And what do you want Formula One to be? And what do you want Formula One to be? And then they'd end up creating something which nobody enjoyed watching, you know, which is what Coca-Cola did. What it was in the 80s. They went out to people and said, hey, you like Coca-Cola, how can we improve it? And then they went to people that didn't drink Coca-Cola and said, you don't drink Coca-Cola, why don't you drink Coca-Cola? And so then they came out with this new product, and people who drank Coca-Cola said, this isn't Coca-Cola. Yeah. And people who didn't drink Coca-Cola said, well, I don't want to drink that because I don't like Coca-Cola. So, and it almost killed the company. So what Liberty have been very smart is they haven't done a new Coke. They've changed the packaging, but they haven't changed the product. And that's really important. You know, they've changed the things that are easy to change without changing the core DNA of the sport. So they've changed social media. They've changed the way in which it's marketed. They've changed the way in which it's promoted. They've been very clear in unveiling the 2018 calendar early and stating, we're not going to mess with the dates on which the races are held. We will stick to these times. We will stick to these races. We will stick to these countries so that 8-9 months out from the race, you can be promoting this. You can be selling tickets. Because that was always the problem before. You know, we'd get to January, February, and we were still getting changes to the calendar. So, yeah, they're doing it right. They're doing it right. And that's because, you know, it's their new investment. They've put a lot of money, a lot of time into it, and they want it to work for them. And so they're still finding their feet, and they're figuring out what they want to do with it. We had a brilliant talk at the weekend from Liberty on a load of research that they've been doing globally, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of people that they have questioned about Formula One, and not just Formula One fans, but general sports fans from around the world about their perceptions of the sport. Do they like it? Do they ever watch it? If not, why not? And they've sort of realized there is a ceiling of how many fans the sport can have globally, because there are some people, crazy people, who just don't like motor racing. You know, they realize that you're never going to get those people to watch Formula One. So let's stop trying, and let's not change Formula One to try and appeal to people that are never going to watch it. But let's take the sort of 70% of the world's sporting audience that is either massively, massively into Formula One or has a passing interest and would maybe watch the highlights if it's on TV. And let's see how we turn those people who might watch the highlights into somebody that might watch 4 or 5 races. And let's see how we can get those people who might watch 4 and 5 races. Let's see how we can get them to actually come to a race. And let's see how we can then turn those people into diehard fans that watch everything. And so that's what they're working at the moment. And I think it's a really smart way of looking at it. It's a long-term project, which shows that there aren't going to be these knee-jerk reactions and stupid regulation changes that we've seen over the years that had no vision, no strategy, no long-term plan, and were just people throwing balls in the air and seeing which ones they could catch. Honestly, I think it's a really positive time for the sport.
You know, when they first did the purchase, I looked at John Malone, and this guy,
oh, yeah,
he is a brilliant investor. That's his, you know, his main thing is making money. And how do you make money in this type of thing is you get eyeballs and you get viewers. And, you know, Will, with the NFL is king in the United States, right? And so, but the ratings in the NFL this year and last year are actually in a not a free fall, but a pretty dramatic decrease, like 15% or so. And so the things that are filling those spots are like esports. And with the way video games and car and all the different racing games, and I don't know, I feel like there could be a spot for F1 to fill some of this rating spot.
They're doing it.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we're all aware that the way in which people engage with sport is changing, and people want to be a part of it. They want to be, you know, in it. And I think the worst thing that you can do, though, is try to change the sport to appeal to what's happening in terms of the way in which things are broadcast and the way in which people get their information and absorb their information. You know, I think it's more to do with the way in which you broadcast it, the way in which you make it available, and how you put it across to people rather than the actual product itself. You know, would you change if figures are dropping in American football, or football, sorry, do you change it from four quarters to two halves? Do you change the length of the quarters? Do you put it into, you know, do you do it to in thirds? Or, you know, I don't think people would be happy with that. You have to keep a core element of what makes the sport the sport. You know, do we want to get to a point with Formula One where we have two sprint races rather than one long race? I think at that point you're crushing what is the DNA of the sport. If people are only, I say people, you know, what are we going to call them, millennials or, you know, kids or whatever, you know, whatever we want to call them, you know, if their attention span is only for a 2 minute 30 second video that they watch on YouTube, then okay, fine, put a 2 minute 30 clip on YouTube for them to watch, but don't change the length of the race because you're trying to appeal to somebody that you don't really understand. I agree with that. I think that's foolhardy.
Well, Will
Very
Buxton,
good point, yeah.
I want to make sure we thank you so much for coming on the show, but also...
But I want to talk Porsche, and I want to talk
okay,
Aston Martin.
We're running out of time.
But John!
He's like a kid, Will. I'm in the studio with a small child.
Give it two quick questions.
Yeah, Porsche coming maybe, he said.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously two big stories that are sort of festering around, as it were. Aston Martin to be the title sponsor next year is a big step forward, and also has some ramifications down the road as we look towards new rules. And of course Porsche now mentioned in the same breath as possibility of an engine come 21.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Aston Martin obviously is a title sponsorship deal, exactly as Infiniti was as a car manufacturer for the team. So at the moment, it's just a sponsorship deal. That's it. Will Aston Martin make an engine? This is the interesting thing. Talking to Christian Horner at the weekend, Christian said that it would be a badging deal on what they would expect to be a Cosworth, if indeed it becomes possible for a new engine supplier to come in 2020, 2021 with the new regulations, which we would expect to be a simpler hybrid engine, possibly taking out the MGUH and just leaving the KERS system that we had in years gone by. So sort of simplifying it from that perspective. If we get a simplified engine formula, then the likes of the Porsches of the world may want to come in as well. That would probably be as an engine supplier. If the Aston Martin Red Bull thing doesn't pan out and Red Bull sell up, there could be a chance for Porsche to buy in there. But what is fascinating is that over at Red Bull at the moment in Milton Keynes, they are developing the Red Bull Technology Park. One massive area of that is, we believe, an engine building plant. Luca Marmarini has left Ferrari and has been employed either by Red Bull or Aston Martin. We're not sure which one. They are bringing in people left, right, and center. Mario Illion, we believe, is part of the project as well.
And that was the guy that brought the Ilmor engine to McLaren a few years ago, wasn't it?
Bingo. He is the godfather of that project. So, will Aston Martin make their own engine? Will McLaren make their own engine? Or will they simply badge up a independent engine, possibly made by Cosworth, in Red Bull's technology center in Milton Keynes as their own? That, at the moment, looks the more likely option.
Man, you know, watching Honda, a huge company, struggle with getting it right, I wouldn't blame them at all for doing something other than trying to build from scratch their own engine.
Right. But Honda is starting to get it right.
I know. And that's true.
And I've written about this a lot, and I do feel for Honda, because they were forced into an architecture for their engine in the first 2 years that they didn't want, because McLaren insisted on a size zero back end of their car. At the start of year three, Zak Brown took over at McLaren, turned around to Honda and said, what do we need to do? And Honda said, you need to let us do the engine that we wanted to do from day one and have been stopped from making. And Zak said, okay, guys, go at it. So basically, this isn't year three for Honda. This is year one. It's year one of a project that should have happened 2 years ago, and you see the great strides that Honda have made throughout this year. You look at the competitiveness they had during the Malaysian Grand Prix on a track that should not have suited them at all, and the fact that Van Dorn was able to fight and finish seventh in that race shows the great strides they've taken. And imagine where they'd be 3 years down the line if they were just able to do what they've done this year in their first year. So, you know, I don't think Toro Rosso have got a bum end of the deal at all. And that's positive for the Formula One World Championship fight, because Honda is ultimately the engine that Red Bull are going to have to take in 2019.
Wow, I didn't realize all that. Well, Will Buxton, we gotta go. Thank you so much. We are going to talk a
My
lot
pleasure.
About the Buxton Bash over at Clearpoint on Thursday before Formula One. We're gonna throw up a page on our website in the next couple days.
Oh, and lovely stuff. Thank you.
So
guys.
We can put all the information. We can put it up there, and people know where to go. And this is the way to kick off the weekend. It's awesome.
And can we have breakfast with Mega. You after Japan as well?
Yeah,
of course, man. Of course. Actually, hold on. I might be traveling. No, I'm not. I'm not traveling until Monday night. So yeah, let's do this same time next week.
All right,
sounds
you got
good
it.
To us. Hey, and listen, how about this? You're as soppy as I am. How about we know Suzuka, it rains, it's going to rain like hell. Honda and Alonso are going to win in the rain at Suzuka.
I'm soppy, but I'm realistic.
Will, thank you so much. We will talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right into break. You're listening to Speed City here in Austin, Texas, back after these quick messages. That's really, really where I'm going to. If I ever get out of here, that's where I'm going to do.
Catman do. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Catch up on the latest headlines anytime at talk1370.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back. We got to thank Will Buxton. That was awesome to have him on the show, and we look forward to talking to him again.
I was watching Jeff Gordon.
You were
talking.
Today?
Yeah, he's a dash good commentator.
He is. You know
Tony
what?
Romo
I've seen
and
him
Jeff
a little
Gordon
bit.
Are two of my favorites now, and they're straight off the wheel. I love it when, you know, guys who are great sportsmen. You know, Manning's going to be awesome. I think Fox are dedicating a show to him on Tuesday. I love it when you get ex players out. Michael Strahan's all brilliant too.
But you know, I don't want to go all NFL, but Tony Romo has really caught everybody by surprise at how good he is. And you're right, Jeff Gordon is the same way. He's really, really good. I think he's just, I mean, both those guys came right out of, I mean, Romo pretty much, he was the highest ranked quarterback in the league 2 years ago. He steps right into the booth, and Jeff Gordon obviously was, you know, competing for the chase and everything not long ago. So these guys come right out of the top of their game, straight into the booth, and kind of have a fresh perspective. You know, they're both, like Romo, calling plays before they happen, and Jeff Gordon, similar type of insights in NASCAR.
But also, and I've been a producer in this situation, if you can get them to talk to their fellow drivers, there is just no, you know, a driver and a driver, there's none of this reporter, hey, that was a stupid question because you've never driven a NASCAR.
Yeah, right.
Jeff Gordon says that was a bum move.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, talking to another, Paul Tracy in IndyCars, fantastic Townsend Bell, likewise. And, you know, get a good host, likely Diffie, you know, and you really have got the makings of a really good team. And that, you're right, it's so important. Anyway, we digress. Let's get back to Formula One.
Let's get back to Formula One.
Just so everybody knows, we've got a week now between now and Japan. So we've just had Malaysia today. Japan is literally in 4 days' time. So Will Buxton, the perfect guy to have on the show. And that's why I try to cajole him into coming on again, because we're going to be hearing him literally Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. We're going to put out the clips that we just heard because there's a lot of information in there.
Yeah, we're going to break that down.
So we're going to break that down. We're also going to encourage people to come to the bash. We'll give you some more information. We're going to put a page up on our website about the bash all in aid of the Turning Pink for Breast Cancer. So it's all going to charity. So Will doing a hell of a job, and we'll be backing him up on that for sure. The NBC boys in town. But let's talk about some other stuff that we didn't get a chance to talk to Will, because it's so fascinating to get him. Who do you want to talk about?
You know, you got to talk about Max Verstappen. I mean, he won the race. Yep. He passed. You know, we tweeted a photo of him passing Lewis Hamilton. Did you? Speaking of NBC, watching the NBC guys, they were caught off guard just like I was.
Yeah.
I looked up and I was like, wait a minute. Max Verstappen is passing Lewis Hamilton? I mean, anybody, insert name, passing Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just blew my head off. I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And I Lewis said it in his post-race interview with Will Buxton. You know, he wasn't going to fight him too hard, simply because he has got one eye on the championship, and he also knows that Max, and he said it in the interview, would go all out to do the overtake and get the win. So he wasn't, you know, no mood to go nuts. But on a more important side, you know, we talked about the future of Formula One, and we talked about Liberty and so on. They really do have a superstar in the making. Lewis Hamilton is not going to go on forever. But Max has got a good 15 years ahead of him. And
wow, that's
amazing
to say that.
Well, he's 20.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, Inga Strecker, by the way, we've had time for Inga today. But I've got a whole podcast that I've done with Inga. Inga made a brilliant point, which was when the first race took place in Malaysia 19 years ago.
Wow.
Think about it.
That's funny.
Young Max Verstappen was just one.
Yeah.
And now he's won the race.
That is amazing. It's so incredible that 19 years ago, that's crazy. And you know, what about Malaysia going away? I mean, I did hear NBC say, well, there's still some negotiations going on. I suppose it could still come back. I mean, it's been a great racetrack, and what, MotoGP goes there? So
very, very popular with MotoGP, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it could stay. You know, I don't think we got enough time to play any clips, but but anyway, I want to talk about the Buxton Bash, because
sure.
If you have not done that, it's really an intimate setting with Formula One drivers. It's really an amazing little thing to go to and to really hear what these drivers, some insight that they just probably won't say any other place where you can actually hear them. Of course, you can get up close, you can get autographs, all that stuff. So we're going to build a page on our website and put that all the information up. It's at Clearport here in Austin on East 6th Street. So thanks for tuning in tonight, of course. And we're going to be leading up to the race. We're going to be working out at COTA that weekend. You'll probably hear Jonathan on the microphones. And, well, of course, Speed City will be broadcasting the race right here on AM 1370. And, of course, all on our website. Check us out, speedcitybroadcast.com. Follow us on social, Facebook, Twitter, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Will Buxton, and happy trails, y'all.
Christina Nelson, and this is Speed City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.